This is Isabella Pantarek with Solid Stitch Embroidery.
Mark Vassalantone with Vastex International.
This is Dave Pomeroy with NBM National Business Media.
Greg Brown with All We Do.
And you are listening to the Two Regular Guys
Podcast.
Hosted by Terry Combs
and Aaron Montgomery.
Welcome to the show. It is Friday, September 4th, 2020. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me at rsuccessgroup.com. Today, Terry, we are going to welcome in Keith Burwell with Precision One Apparel, and we're going to discuss the pros and cons of working with family. So looking forward to this conversation. You and I had a chance to meet Keith not too long ago at the ThreadX event and really got to hang
down
out and get to know
him. Scottsdale.
There you go, down the street in Scottsdale. So, you know, and when we kind of had that last minute, hey, we need some help, people jump in here when we were talking about the legacy, family business legacy, we kind of had that set up, but I had heard from Keith and he said, you know, I've got a kind of an interesting story too. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely worth a program. So looking forward to talking to Eric. I looked at Eric's in the background. So, hey, good morning. All right. So let's check in with some of our regulators here this morning. We've got Todd Downing checking in. And this is where I got the Eric from. Greetings, everyone. Eric here in the comments, as usual. And Joe Ortnot checking in. Terry Saunders. And Dotto Dan Terry, where? Kelly Goldsmith. And Wade. I'm not even going to try your last name. I'm sorry. I should know this, but
okay, silent.
Nice. And Dan says, Aaron works where? And that's rsuccessgroup.com. So there you go. How about that? And we've got Marsha Derryberry checking in. In fact, we're going to have Marsha on with us next week. So she's going to be hopefully getting some tips here on what to.
Marsha's watching for a practice run here.
Yeah. Marsha says Facebook isn't playing the video or audio now. Anybody else having trouble? I'm seeing other folks from Facebook here. So my guess is it's working out okay. Terry, how's it going on your end?
I hear everything fine. I'm going to say, Marsha, user error. But I don't know.
All right. If anybody else, though, can let us know, make sure everything's going okay. But definitely also check us out over on YouTube as well. So appreciate that reminder for folks. If you haven't subscribed to the Two Regular Guys channel over on YouTube, please do check that out. All right, Terry. Well, let's go ahead and get into some news stuff here before we get Keith on. And what came across your desk there?
It's kind of sad news. Our good friend Katie Ditalo is leaving the NBM show. She's been there for 11 years. Aaron, the time flies, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Today is, in fact, her last day. So, Katie, thanks for all the great info you've shared with the regulators here on Two Regular Guys. And we're going to miss you and wish you the greatest success out there and beyond the decorators world. And cheers, Katie. That's an inside joke.
Yeah. Cheers. How about that? Terry, I don't know if you had any further communication, any ideas where she's going to land.
She is going into the beverage industry. So that's like my comment.
Drinking,
cheers.
Drinking beverages.
No, not like when she worked for NBM and having cocktails.
I was gonna say, where can I find that job? That sounds like it would be right up my alley.
Wait, professional drinking. Is that a thing?
I don't think it's a extendable career that can make a real living out of, but who knows?
It's kind of like gambling. You probably spend more than you make.
Yeah, probably so. All right. Well, Terry, for me, I saw a note that actually showed up in the Graphics Pro magazine announcing Cole Desi has added bestblanks.com to the family of brands. The Tampa, Florida-based Cole Desi, a reseller of customized equipment, announced the addition of bestblanks.com to the company's family brand. So we'll have a link. In fact, Eric's already got a link. If you want to put that up on screen there, Eric, there's the link. You go check out and read a little bit more about that. So that was very interesting. In that article, I noticed that they'd, you know, they've actually been picking up quite a few companies over the past several years. So interesting to see them grow. I know they've always wanted to kind of get into the sublimation game, and Best Blanks was definitely a big part of that world as well. So good luck to all of them.
Yeah, we don't see Scott Coleman a lot out there in the trade show world, but a really good guy down there at Coldesi, and obviously working hard, not at the trade shows, but acquiring companies.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Terry, it's your week for the dad joke. I want everybody to buckle up, buckle in. It's a good one. It's going to be a groaner, though. I'm just going to throw that out there.
All right. Well, so I have my doubts about this, because right before we went on the air, Eric goes, "Are you really going to tell that joke?" And now I'm having some doubts, but
no, okay. No, it's all good. I've got
it's
you
been
back.
75 here, Eric. Years, everybody. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's yeah, totally. Okay. Go
it
ahead.
Happened 75 years ago. Okay. Here's the joke. What did the instructor at the School for Kamikaze Pilots say to his students?
What did he say, Terry?
Watch closely. I'm only going to do this once. That's funny.
All right. That is funny. It's very funny. You did even put in the notes, too far, ?
I had an alternative joke in there, and I thought, nah, I'm doing this one.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Cool.
All right, Aaron. Hey, before we dive in, we want to thank everyone for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. If you are listening to the podcast version, we would appreciate you sharing with your friends so that they can become regulators too. Plus, we would love and appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this podcast. And we are always looking for new guests. If you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2. That's the number 2. Regular guys, and tell us what your idea is for a show, and we're always looking for new guests. If you're watching us live right now, join in with your comments and your questions. Reach out to your industry friends so they can become regulators too.
Yeah, Terry, I don't know. The regulators are still trying to take it out. There we go. Amy says that's a great joke. So
all right.
good. All right. I was watching the numbers and making sure that, you know, all of a sudden the viewers didn't just completely drop out, but no, it was very good. So
I don't want to be canceled in the culture for telling that joke.
Oh boy. All right. Well, again,
now they're dropping off.
Yeah, exactly. No, we've just, if it wasn't my flub at the very beginning, you know, then but anyhow. Okay, so regulators, again, tell your friends to join us. We'd love to have that live interaction. We have a great time with that, obviously. Terry, we got Impressions Expo still going strong here. So let's hear a word from them. They're still moving forward, and pretty soon we're going to get Josh back to get the latest and greatest. But let's hear a word from our sponsor, Impressions Expo. What is Impressions Expo? Impressions Expo, formerly known as ISS, is the premier trade show dedicated to the imprinted and decorated apparel industry. They have 5 shows that are produced annually in each region of the United States, including Long Beach, California, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Orlando, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and cap off the year at Fort Worth, Texas. Each of those 5 annual shows also feature over 30 seminars and hands-on workshops in categories such as screen printing, embroidery, digitizing, digital decorating, and much, much more. Visit ImpressionsExpo.com for more details, and while there, use the promo code RegularGuysIE for a free expo pass. Again, make sure you visit ImpressionsExpo.com to get more details. And the Two Regular Guys look forward to seeing you there. All right. Well, again, thanks to Impressions for their support, and we appreciate everything that they're doing. And make sure you go check them out at ImpressionsExpo.com. All right, Terry. Well, cool. So we've got Marsha back in the comments here. So good. We've got Gusta from Sweden checking in again. I still am not sure if I'm getting it right, but I'm trying. Katie says, thank you so much. You're the best and I'll miss you. All right, here's the deal, Katie. We're still going to be here. So you're welcome to join us, even if you're not in the industry. You don't have to be in the industry to be here. So how about that?
Certainly in a related industry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Have you not seen our logo? It's a chicken wing. And what goes with chicken wings?
A little bit of beer.
There we go. All right. All right.
You know, it was a joke when I said a little bit.
And none so far this morning, at least for me. I don't know. You were drinking a drink. I think it was last week. And I kept wanting to ask you if it was it had that golden tint to it. I'm like, is that a beer already?
No, it's I'm trying to drink more water. So I have that, you know, that flavoring that you get at the grocery store.
beer flavoring?
Yeah.
was it like a Coors Light? Or
I was going to say, yeah, well, it's not water out of the tap. It's water out of the can.
I love it. All right. We will go way off the rails. But Eric does have a good point for Katie here. He says, doesn't the beverage industry need gear? Side business, Katie. So there you go. All right, Terry. Well, let's get our guest in here. And I'm excited to talk to Keith here.
All right. We want to welcome in Keith Burwell with Precision One Apparel. Precision One started in 2006 with Keith and his father and his sister in a small town in Northern California. The business started in the garage for printing and out of Keith's sign shop for sales. They now have 6,000 square feet. Keith says they went through what he calls three phases, and we'll be interested to hear that. And his dad has retired. Keith's sister has left the company. And over the last couple of years, Keith has upgraded all the equipment, expanded, and like so many of us, has been battling through COVID. So welcome to the show, Keith.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Yeah, great to have you here. Well, so Keith, let's just start here. You know, you talked about three phases in the intro there, Terry did. But talk about the evolution of being in business together with your family from how it started to where you are now. Maybe give us that rundown on the three phases.
Okay. I'll go before any phase started.
And okay.
Back in 1992, I have a cousin in the industry who's been printing for almost 40 years. He's in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area. And I was like your guest last week, like Tony, I was a truck driver and that job ended. I went back to Oklahoma. My cousin taught me how to print. I came back to California and said, let's start this business. Problem was, I really didn't know how to run a business back then. So it lasted about a year and a half, but that's kind of where my family kind of still kicked me off in the screen printing industry. And then in 2001, I was working for the phone company and thought I was going to retire from there. But I started my sign business in 2001 as just a for fun, kind of like most people, just, you know, bought a plotter and making a few banners here and there. But I was always having people ask me, oh, can you get shirts made or can you do this? And that's kind of, you know, how my sign business was going. And then the phone company in 2005 decided that they were going to start outsourcing. And, you know, there's about 3,800 of us in my department across the country that we all lost our jobs. So my sign business became my sole source of income. And I was doing a trade show, just a little like home show in our local mall. And my dad came by and was like checking things out. He still was driving a truck at the time and goes, yeah, I really want to find something a little bit easier to do. And I said, hey, I was thinking about buying this other screen printing company across town, but I go, you know, we can't really come to an agreement, so maybe we should just start our own. And he said, okay, tell me what to do. And then we got my sister involved. We went back to see my cousin in Oklahoma again. I took them all back there. And the first thing I told my dad was, and I'll never forget this because he thought, oh, he goes, I'll do all that. Because I said, I'm never going to clean a screen again. I go, it was the worst part of owning my other business. And I said, I don't want to do that anymore. So we went back there and they were excited. They said, yeah, let's do it. And so we started the business as Precision One Graphics. And when we were flying back on the plane, I created our logo. And by the time we landed, we had our logo in place. And then we went and learned some more things from my cousin, who at that time had automatic and stuff. And we didn't buy an automatic at the beginning at all. So, but we came home, we went, ordered our equipment, but we started in the sign shop. And we were like 3 months into the business and we hadn't really developed, you know, processes or anything like that. It was just kind of, you know, they were still learning things. And, but the biggest thing I learned right off the bat was my dad had his way of doing things and I had my way of doing things. When you get to the pros and the cons of that, it was really rough and it became super stressful really fast. And I have a strong IT background. That's what I actually did for the phone company. And everything I did was on the computer. And everything my dad did was really old school. And it was in a notebook and writing everything down. And he wanted it one way, I wanted it another way. And believe it or not, we had a meeting and I told my dad, I said, look, my design business is making me money. The screen printing business is making money, but dividing it by three people, we're not really. So I said, I think the best thing would be is you and Lisa take the screen printing business and I'll be your artist. And you just pay me to do artwork. And then if I want to print something for a customer of mine or something, I'll come and do that. So I kind of really stepped away at that point. Mm-hmm. Not really so much. I stepped away as potential owner at that time. And but I was still super involved. I was at the shop almost every day. I mean, but I didn't have to worry about, you know, this customer, that customer. I just had to worry about, you know, having artwork done for them. Nice. And my sister was the sales force of the team. And she was out, she was hustling. And about a year into the business, she bought embroidery equipment. And she had that at her house. And she had five kids. Her kids were learning how to run the embroidery machine. And it was crazy. But, you know, so that was really kind of like the first phase of the business, you know. And that went on from, you know, 2006 to 2009, my dad officially retired. Even though he really never left, he was just... he's still around today. Unfortunately, he can't. My stepmom has dementia, unfortunately, and he's got to be home taking care of her. And he comes here when he can, and it's more for a break for him, I think, than anything. But
sure.
So the second phase started as really my sister being the sole owner at that time in 2009. So she changed the name of the business to Precision One Screen Printing and Embroidery. And then she built up an amazing customer base and I still was doing artwork for her. And, you know, we went through, obviously, you know, 2008 was pretty rough on the economy and my sign business. I actually ended up moving it home and was working out of my house. But the screen printing business was still going strong. I mean, she built up really, really good customer base. And she had a ton of repeat business even through that rough time. And the business did really well through then. But she had battled cancer a couple of times. And my dad would go back in and help out and stuff. And then about 7 years ago, 2013, she called me and she goes, hey, Dad doesn't really remember how to do much and my cancer's back and I got to step away for a few months. Can you come in and help out? So I was still at my house with my sign business. So I set up a little table next to in the front room of the shop and put my laptop up and did artwork and dealt with the customers and dealt with the production schedule and did everything. And then about 3 months later, she came back and she really liked some of the changes I implemented. And she goes, hey, I really want you to come back and, you know, kind of be here all the time. And I said, if you want me here, we got to make room. Cause I said, I can't work like this and then go home and work my sign business. I need to be able to do them both at the same time here. So we moved our embroidery room. We moved some stuff around and moved everything out. And I kind of took over this office that I'm in right now. It's like 16 by 19, you know, and I got a printer in here and everything else. But, so that's when I was really here. But I still wasn't part owner or anything. I was just kind of doing, you know, but I was back and I was kind of dealing with everything. And, but then I kind of got to see the other side of my sister that I hadn't seen in the business. I knew she was like really good customers, but she was very non-confrontational with her employees and stuff. And they were really taking advantage of their situation. And I would like try to talk to her. And these employees were my nephews. it would maybe be her daughters or whatever. Not really. I don't really think her daughters took advantage of her. I think they would. They just came in and would help out for an hour when they were supposed to be here for three or whatever. But I had other people that would just take advantage of taking way too many breaks and stuff. And so I was gradually kind of calling these people out on it. And, you know, and even though they were family, and I think that was the biggest thing, that they were family and they thought they could kind of take advantage of the situation. So, so that was kind of, you know, we can get into that a little bit more, but that was kind of where that was. And then the third phase was my sister came to me in 2018 at the beginning of June and said, hey, Carlos, her husband, got a promotion and they were going to be moving to Seattle. And she goes, you can take over the business and it's yours at this point. You're the one who started it. You're the one that, you know, and I said, okay. And that was supposed to happen at the end of 2018. And then she came to me like 3 weeks later and it was on my birthday of all days. It was on a Thursday and she goes, I want to have a meeting with you and dad. And then she goes, I'm leaving a little planner a little earlier than I planned. And I go, when? And she goes, tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And I go, what? And she goes, yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow. She goes, I just want to end the fiscal year. So she goes, July 1st, you're officially taking everything over. So it was like, you know, that was like on a Thursday, like I said, the 28th. So I pretty much had one day to go get new fictitious business name, new bank accounts, you know, and, you know, my side business was doing really well, but here I am, inherited this, had four employees and had to make payroll by next Friday with, you know, how do I get all the money in from everybody? So it was a little crazy, but we did it. So when I took over that, that's when I changed to Precision One Apparel and I called it, this is my spin on it. I changed our colors. You know, we'd always been a blue and orange and I went to a teal and black and just, I wanted a total fresh start. It was going to have my name only associated with it. And that's kind of what we did. And it was crazy. And by the end of the year, I realized that her embroidery machines, she really never kept good maintenance on them. And they were like, I had to outsource a really big job because our machines wouldn't sew them and stuff. So I went to SGIA in Vegas to buy a new embroidery machine and came away with a new auto. And I just ended up spending about $150,000, I think, at that show and was scared to death and came back. I'm sitting there going, wow, we have all this new equipment and, you know, got to get trained on it and stuff. But we've done that and never looked back. And we were definitely going to have a record year this year. Unfortunately, like I think a lot of people probably were. And then when COVID hit, it was just, you know, okay, now we'll see what happens. But so that's kind of how we started the business.
Yeah.
We can go through family issues, goods and positives, whatever you guys want to do.
So, yeah. You know, Keith, when you said your dad had just notes in a notebook, and I was thinking about me and Aaron because I was paying attention to my junior yellow legal pad. And
But Terry is not my dad, by the way.
My third. Yeah, I'm not his dad. The other thing is, I was thinking when you said you created your logo on the flight home, is it mysteriously, strangely similar to Delta Airlines logo? Or
no.
All right.
We flew Southwest, so no.
Well, okay, so before you guys said, okay, let's do this, it sounds like it just kind of organically happened, but did you all have a conversation about here are the pitfalls of working with family and what are those pitfalls?
So, well, I'm very blessed with a pretty amazing family. I have two sisters, and I'm the oldest, and we're all about we're a little over 4 years apart, almost to the exact day. It's just really kind of weird how that worked out. But,
yeah.
But I was the one who always said, I want to have 10 kids and everything. And I didn't. I have two. I have a son and a daughter. My sister, Lisa, who was partners with us, she was never able to get pregnant and adopted five kids and then got pregnant. So she has six kids. My other sister has six kids, two of her own and four adopted. So they're the ones who have the big families. So we've always been super close. I mean, Sabrina, my baby sister, and I used to be like best friends. And then it was like, as we got a little older, work took us away from each other and things like that. And we weren't as close, but then here I was working with Lisa and became a lot closer with her. So when we talked about it, we never thought about, oh, we're going to fight over this, we're going to fight over that. And not that we actually, I don't think we really never fought. I think me and my dad butted heads on processes on out, you know, and that's when I really had a meeting and I said, you know what, Dad, I go, I love you, but I go, I don't want to fight with you. I go, this is going in the wrong path. And I said, and I'm not going to put blame on you or me, but I said, I think the best thing to do is let me step away. You and Lisa can take that, you know? And so we didn't really look at any pitfalls at that point. We hired our first printer, and I hired him because he was working for the company I was going to buy. And I hired him away because I knew he was really good. And I said, Dad, he's going to teach you what you need to know. And he did, actually. And then there were other family members, you know, that got hired after that, as far as nieces and nephews and
stuff. Yeah. So, Keith, what, you know, obviously you brought up some of the pitfalls and you guys were able to work through them. It sounds like, you know, getting to that communication level, and it is a challenge when you've got nieces, nephews, all that kind of stuff. And like you said, it's one thing to, you know, go work for aunt and uncle and I'll be there for 3 hours and you only show up for, yeah. So that kind of stuff happens. But what about the benefits of, you know, you obviously have got some big families around a little bit and stuff like that. What are some of the benefits of working with family?
It was really amazing the whole time that they were here. Because I mean, I still keep the family atmosphere here at work. You know, I mean, it's still, you know, my employees, they really are family to me. And I treat them like that, you know, I'm pretty honest with them about, you know, the direction the company's going. I mean, I think any employer should be that way with their employees if they can. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, when you get quite a few employees, it's pretty hard to do that, but you know, I consider us a small shop. I mean, but, I think most of the positive things were, I was proud to work next to my dad, you know, even when he was back here when he's supposed to be retired and, you know, and I wasn't, we were all working together, even though we technically weren't owners of the company anymore, but we were still, I was pretty proud of it. And actually when I upgraded all the equipment and had everything going, because my dad was always saying, oh, the company, I don't know if it's busy enough to get an automatic. And I said, Dad, you have no clue. You know, when I upgraded everything and I took things over and he came in and he saw how clean the shop was and everything. And he was like, the shop's never been this way. He goes, and he was super proud of me and I'm going to choke up saying that. But I was like, that was like pretty hard.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's awesome. I mean, that is, I think probably the biggest benefit is that, you know, it means just a little bit more when you can do those things together and have those proud moments. So that's really cool. High five, Keith.
So Keith, when, I know you've done this in different stages, different steps, but so as a family business, how were decisions made? Did everybody have a vote? Was one person in charge? Sounds like that one person in charge might have shifted over the years.
Yeah. When we first started, we would talk and we would, you know, I mean, and they kind of looked to me because I had probably, obviously I had the most experience in the business side of it. And probably the most experience, you know, my dad had done all kinds of, you know, entrepreneurial stuff, you know, multi-level marketing businesses and everything, but he was ultimately still just the truck driver, you know, and was probably the hardest working guy I've ever seen in my whole life. And my sister had done retail management. She was a manager of a chain clothing store for a long time. And so she knew sizing, and so I mean, she brought a different aspect to it, but she also brought the sales aspect to it. So we let her go out and get the customers, and that's what she was really good at. And me and my dad managed the production side of things. And you know, then it became, you know, when I just said I'm just going to do the artwork, and then I was doing that. So I would go over and explain, you know, to my sister, hey, when you're out selling a job, you got to really look at this and that. So she kind of learned a lot at the time. So as far as business, you know, decisions, it really was just kind of a group effort, depending on what we were doing. I never told her how to go out and sell. I only showed her artwork wise, hey, you need to explain to a customer that, you know, they got 14 colors and we only have 6 color press and this is all we can, you know, so it was that. I think when it came down to, you know, more of the financial aspects and things like that, what we should spend money on and all that, I think then that was more of an in-depth, you know, and a lot of research. And, you know, we went to a lot of trade shows, obviously. You know, I think I've been to, since we started the business, I think there's only been 1 year I never made it to Long Beach. So, so you know, that was, you know, that's our, was our great resource as far as what's new, what's coming out, you know.
Sure.
So Keith, did what your sister didn't act like a typical salesperson and say, but the customer wants 14 colors.
No, but there was a lot of aspects that would, she was always, oh, well, we'll get a sample in and stuff like that. And actually my office manager just did this the other day and ordered in $280 worth of OGO shirts and stuff for this customer, you know, that she wanted to try on. And she picked 3 of the 15 pieces. And I was a little bit furious with my
a little bit furious. That's
I was like, hey, we don't order that much stuff unless we know they're going to be using it. So that was so. But that, my sister was notorious for that. That is one thing I can tell you. When I took everything over, there's probably still 30 to 40 boxes out in my sign shop of stuff. My sister, when she would order hats, she would order 2 to 3 extra. And I could never fathom that. I mean, I understood why, because the machines would mess up a hat or whatever. And she always wouldn't have it. But when I took over, I said, we're not doing that. I go, this is like, I go, that's, you know, if the hats are $9 a piece, that's $27 a profit you just lost, because it's going to sit and collect dust now, unless we get the reorder or whatever. But
Well, unless it's a team or something, most people are pretty flexible about, I ordered 200 shirts. You're going to deliver 198. I'm still good, you know?
Yeah. And and I think what happened with her is she would order these, but she would order a couple extra, even on a, say, a 20 hat order or something, you know? And I'm just like, that's just, when I did open house for both the sign business and the screen printing business, because we're all in the same complex now. And I did this open house 6 months after I took over to show off the new equipment and everything. And I went up the street and I rented a storage unit, just a 5x10 storage unit. And I stuffed it full of all of her overstock stuff. That's how much stuff I had. And
the origins of overstock.com, right?
And a couple of years ago, we had a lot of fires up here. I mean, we still had some this year, but we had the Paradise Fire, which was a really bad one that, you know, I think 85 people perished in that. But I had taken a bunch of all different color t-shirts, all different brand t-shirts, took them home, and we did a yard sale at our house. And I filled up my garage with all of these. And it was like, we did $1 a t-shirt, brand new, back to school. We sold over $400 at that yard sale, almost all t-shirts, you know, maybe a sweatshirt or something, but, and I still had, my garage was just full of stuff and everything. And then the fires happened, and then they had a big donation trailer that was like right up the street from my house. And I threw everything back in my truck. I took it up there, and the guy's like looking at me, and he goes, he goes, if I write you a receipt for $5,000, I go, I don't need a receipt. And he goes, no, I want you to have some kind of tax deduction. And it was easily $5,000 worth of stuff. It was probably closer to 10. And, you know, but I go, this is really going to help out the people. This is fine. And, you know, it's helping me by getting it out of the way. But that was really kind of the thing. And I still had a storage unit full of stuff. And I had an employee going and grabbing a pickup load a day and go through it. And we decided what we wanted. And the other we would donate. We have a local group called Beaver Sutter Stand Down, which actually helps the homeless veterans and stuff. And that's actually where almost everything went to. And I kept stuff that I knew that I was going to be able to reuse down the road. And that's kind of what we've done. But
yeah,
there was probably $30,000 to $40,000 worth of.
Wow.
You know, I mean, but the sad thing was, is it wasn't like there was 200 black t-shirts, you know, there was 14 purple shirts and 18 green shirts, you know, so right. it was impossible to inventory and, and stuff. And it was a sloppy bad practice. And that was, unfortunately, I'll put the blame on my sister for that. Hopefully she's watching. I told her to come and watch. I wouldn't tell her.
All right.
She wants to have another family meeting as soon as the show's over.
Indeed. All right, Keith. So we've got a couple of regulators checking in here. Frank Dunn, who's over in the UK, actually said, yep, been there with that when you were talking about some of the family stuff. He also asked, have you ever had to let a family member go?
Yes.
care to explain that? Or
so this happened just before I took everything open. My one nephew, who was our screen printer, who became really good. He was super fast and everything, but he was very headstrong. He was very immature, even though he was 30 years old. But he thought he knew everything about everything, and he didn't. And I wasn't the one that had to let him go. My sister actually did, which I was really shocked. It was one of the first times I really seen her just say, sorry, but we're done, And, but I think for him, the main reason, I don't know if I would have kept him when I took everything over. I don't think I could have tolerated his attitude. I probably would have got rid of him a lot quicker. It only took her like 10 years to do it. but he dug his own hole. It was, I'm pretty sure he had a pretty bad drug problem at the time. And, I came in one day and it was, we had some pretty expensive jerseys that looked like a kindergartner printed them. And I drove, my sister lived an hour away at the time, and I got in the car with my dad and we drove down and we showed her what he did. And, and it had been happening for about a week straight. And so she finally said, okay, and that was kind of tough. And I had another nephew that would come in and like maybe during Little League season when we had to put numbers and sponsors on the back of shirts, and we were doing all that with Pete Press, and when you're doing five or six Little Leagues, 2,500 shirts or more, you need some extra help with that. So he would come in, and that's all he would do was he'd come in the evening time and just print all, just heat press all night and stuff. But he started getting attitude. How come you don't have as much work for me? And, and I just kind of trimmed things out when I took over. And so I just kind of said, hey, I just probably aren't going to have anything else for you, And so he never called back about asking for anything. So it was kind of my way of easily getting rid of him and stuff like that. And he's still one of my favorite nephews. He lives four houses around the corner from me, so it's not a big deal. My other nephew was one that I kind of thought was taking advantage of everything. And because he would come in and embroider in the evenings. And I came in and I said, DJ, give me your hours and stuff. And he came in and he goes, oh, yeah, I have 34 hours. And I was going, yeah, 34 hours this week? How do you have 34 hours? And I'm like going through and I was like going, 200 hats are done. Like, it really take you 34 hours to do 200 hats? So I wrote him his check that week. And then the next week I said, I don't have any work this week. And it was, he got the hint and just said, then he came in one day and handed me his keys and just said, I got another job. I'm really sorry. I go, no, we're good, So that was my polite way, My other nephew, he was literally just told, you're done. Here's your final check. And the other guys have just kind of phased out. And,
gotcha. Do you still have any family working there with you right now, Keith?
Nope. Okay. None of my employees are family. And I tried it. I had a cousin. So my second cousin, it was my cousin's son. And he had been begging me for a job and he wasn't 18. And I would always give him the excuse that he was 18. I would see him on Facebook all the time and he was so immature. And I was just like going, I would never hire him. And we were at dinner. I was at dinner with my wife one night and I go, oh, I got a message. And she goes, you should hire him. You should give him a chance. And I was like going, I do not want to hire him. And so I did hire him and he lasted a week. He was late twice. he put on his Facebook profile that he was a graphics technician for Precision One. And I go, no, you're not anything close to that. So he was doing videos like, look, I'm embroidering these hats today, which he didn't even know how to turn the machine on. And, or he had he went into the auto, we're printing these today. And I was just like going, no, you're like sweeping the floor. You're not doing that. So that was, I should have never hired him, but it was, and that was one where when he was late the second time in 4 days, I actually sent him home for the day. And then that's when he called and goes, I got another job. I'm officially giving you my 2 weeks notice. And I said, well, call him and tell him to take you right now because I'm done. And that was kind of like, you know, I don't need you anymore at that point.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay.
I once fired the owner of my company's son. he's like, so what happened? And I'm like, this production shop, you can't come and go as you please. And he's like, okay. So it was a life lesson. But so, you know, it's common in garment decorating and in the decorating industry to have these family affairs. And Keith, kind of give us a checklist for listeners, what they should take into consideration when they're thinking about doing a family-owned business.
I learned about this business every day, especially the last couple of years. I think since I took over, you know, I've gotten a lot more involved in, you know, like meeting you guys, you know, and other people in the industry. I think, you know, you got to have processes in place and you got to have expectations. You can't, you know, I get mad. I had a meeting with just my current staff and, you know, and I was going over some of the things and I realized, you know what, I've never told them that this bothers me or whatever, you know? So if you have little pet peeves, you know, mine is, you know, I want my work area to be as clean as possible or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or if you're walking through the shop and you see a piece of paper on the floor, it may not be your work area, but pick it up and throw it away, you know, whatever, something like that. And, okay. But I was realized that, you know what, I never really told them that they should be doing that, but I felt like I probably shouldn't have had to tell them that. But I think definitely processes and expectations, because if you don't have that, it's kind of like being married, you know, you have your pet peeves with your spouse, you know, and it's like, but if you don't let them know that that really bothers you, and then you let it build up. And then it turns into like, you know, however you handle being mad or whatever, or frustrated, that's what's going to happen at work as a boss and even as an employee. So,
yeah. 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 Those are really great tips for all businesses, family
exactly.
or not, you know, honestly. and I like that you had that realization that, again, like you said, you kind of hope that you don't have to share those kinds of things with people, but at the end of the day, it is your business. And so it is your responsibility. So that's pretty, pretty awesome that you are able to take responsibility for that and move forward. So Keith, can we shift here real quick? You know, you talked about going to Impressions. You know, we got a chance to meet you and get an opportunity to hang out at ThreadX this year. And you've mentioned that, you know, you really participate in a lot of the education out there, trade shows and industry groups. And, you know, so why is that so important to you?
Well, a little over a year ago, I don't remember exactly how it was brought to my attention. I don't know if I just found it or whatever, but, or maybe it was just, I was on one of Tom's things and then they were talking, you know, I was learning about Shirt Lab and stuff. And they had one that was really close up in Portland. So, you know, it was really easy to get to for me. So I decided to go to that. And as much as it was, you know, meeting everybody, you know, as far as the education, you know, I remember going in and sitting down that morning, you know, I probably got there like a half hour early and I was not in the very front row. I think I was like one row back, but I was up in about center stage. And I had this gentleman come in and he goes, oh, do you mind if I sit next to you? And it was like, there was literally like a million other tables left that he could have sat at. And I was like, sure. And I'm opening up like who's going to be speaking. And I'm looking and I'm going back and forth. And I'm like, this is like the first speaker. And it was Mark Coudray. So Mark sits next to me. So not only did I get to sit next to him all day, I got to pick his brain all day. So no matter how much money that would have cost me, it was there, you know, and then we actually went to dinner together, you know, and stuff like that. So I actually, that alone was worth it for me, but that kind of kicked it off. I mean, I met some really good, you know, all our counterparts across the country, you know, and stuff like that. And to this day, I'm really good friends with a lot of those, and I consider it my second family and stuff. And when we go to the trade shows or whatever we go to, you know, it's more the meetup now for me. But you know, we get together and we can talk and discuss the pitfalls we're having. And the last year and a half, I've probably learn more about the industry than I think I've learned the whole time of my career in the industry. I think education, you know, the trade shows, you know, when we first went to those, it was always, well, let's see what's new, whatever. Maybe we might have taken a couple classes here and there, but I think being out on the floor and talking to it, don't ever be afraid to ask the questions. I mean, right. You know, if you don't know it, not everybody's there to help. Same thing, you know, on here, you know, on your guys's groups and stuff like that. Never be afraid to ask a question, because if there's an easier way to do it or a better way to do it, or, you know, and don't ever, if you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong, but there's so many ways to do so many things. So I don't even know if you really call it doing it wrong, but
sure,
man, if you show me a better way to do something, I'm taking that with me. And so it's education, knowledge. That's what you should go to these shows for, go to these events. And I'm just somewhat crazy right now, so I'm really hoping we get to do something in 2021. So,
Agreed. Yeah. I think you hit some really key points there, Keith. I mean, obviously the education is a big part of it. Like you said, if you can learn something, you know, kind of going into things, because I know for me, when I've made the biggest mistakes is, you know, showing up to something and go, oh, well, I know this stuff, you know, I'm good. But if I change that and I have that kind of beginner's mindset and go, yeah, who knows, maybe I can, that's when I've always gained the most value. But then the other part that you mentioned, Keith, the part about just, you know, getting to sit next to Mark Coudre and pick his brain and meeting people. And, you know, it's kind of the mastermind theory in a way, I think. So that's awesome. Heck, we had a blast that night. We got to hang out. So I don't know if we learned anything, but.
I never forgot the name of the shots that we were doing. So that was, my wife said they sounded terrible, but I said, no, they tasted pretty good.
the name of that shot came from Eric's own mind, or Aaron's own mind.
That's so. Right. The 4 a.m. creation, for sure. So, Marcia says, Keith is right. There's nothing better than networking and so many opportunities to do it virtually now too. Plus it's a blast to get to know our peers, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like I said, our second family, I think, is a great way to put that, Keith.
Well, and you know, Aaron, I think also that you have to have that mindset of, no matter how big you get, how long you've been in the industry, there are always things to be learned. And so, you know, you have to keep your mind open. I did a seminar at DAX where there was a gentleman that I met before the seminar said, he goes, I'm doing about $35 million in screen printing. I'm thinking $35 million in screen printing. This is kind of an intro class. But when it was done, he said, hey, you know, that this one point, I never really thought about it that way. And that's somebody who's always trying to, like a sponge, always trying to gain knowledge. And we should all be that way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, Keith. Well, we're coming to the end here. So tell us what's going on. What's new and good there? You know, you're making it through COVID, back to work, right? You guys are
yeah, back. We're back to work. This is the scary time of year for us right now because of COVID. You know, the last 3 years, when I look at my numbers, you know, basically from about mid-August to December 1st is, you know, our revenue, the revenue we do during that time frame is more than everything else combined through the rest of the year. And when I look at my invoices for the last 3 years, 85% of those invoices are from schools. So for me, it's like, how do you make that up? How do you pivot? You know, I mean, we do a lot of face masks, and, you know, and I have a sign business, and the sign business has just been so, but it is starting to pick up a lot right now. And, but so I have my employees back, but I don't have them back full time. You know, everybody's getting between 20 and 40 hours, you know, and 40 hours is kind of rare for any of them right now. But, you know, we didn't get anything from SBA. So we didn't get, you know, the emergency $10,000 thing. We didn't get PPP. And I think we didn't get PPP, to be honest with you. It wasn't anything to do with the business or my credit or anything like that, because all that's actually really good. I think it was because I didn't ask for enough, because everybody I know that asked for 50 to 60,000 or more than that got it. And I didn't ask for that much because I didn't really want, I didn't know how much we were going to be obligated. So I was trying to control it. So we didn't ask for that much. And so everybody that I know locally in my area that asked for 50,000 or less did not get it. So I just think the bank maybe didn't want to fund it because it wasn't, they weren't going to make as much money, and they funded the other people because that's where the money was. You know, the first round, they said they ran out of money. Second round, I was supposed to be first in line, and it still didn't happen. And it definitely would have helped, but now we're just kind of, we're getting through it, you know, and I'm just, I'm hustling. I'm doing a lot more online stores. You know, that's, you know, I have a goal to get a lot more of those up. I've jumped some of my social media strategy. I'm actually getting a pretty decent presence on TikTok of all places.
So, nice. There you go. You
know, when we were down at ThreadX, Marshall was doing his 30-day live, and I had started mine, I think, a week before down there and for Facebook. And that was actually, I was doing that for 2 weeks because I really kind of wanted not being as shy in front of the camera for TikTok. And I thought maybe, but that was still, TikTok was just a for fun thing. It wasn't even going to be for business.
Yeah. And
when COVID hit, I met this lady that does social media managing and started talking, and she was just like going, hey, you should really look into this. So it became kind of my way of doing things. So I've kind of got a couple of pretty big influencers on there that I'm hopefully going to start doing their merch. And if I get to do their merch, I think it's going to be pretty big, actually.
So, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome. Yeah. That is really cool. Cool. All right. Well, Keith, tell us where people can find you, where people can reach out, and how do they connect with you?
So our website's Precision One, the number one, actually, precisiononeapparel.com. Our local phone number is 530-790-7070. If you go to the website, you can email me from there. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, everywhere. Just my name or business name. Just find me. And
there you go. And check out TikTok.
Yes.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Keith. It was really great getting to talk to you, get to know more about your business, and best of luck out there, and let us know if there's anything we can do for you.
All right. I greatly appreciate it. Had a lot of fun, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Keith. Take care, Keith. All right, Terry, let's jump in. We've got another guest actually joining us. So we're going to talk to Cheryl Kuchek. So Eric, if you can bring us some Cheryl here and make sure we've got, there we go.
Share the screen with Cheryl.
And let's get her oops. Okay. Cheryl, can you unmute your microphone on that side? There we go. Yeah, Cheryl, right. Can you hear us? There we go. We got you, Cheryl.
I can hear
Welcome.
You. So let me put this on.
She can't hear us. So hang tight 1 second. We're going to talk to Cheryl Kuchek about these.
I can. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Let me see if I can fix this where I can hear you.
You know, Aaron, I like the way that Keith said the name of his business, and it's the number one. He said, hey, that's just like us. Two, the number two, regular guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Cheryl, are you hearing us now?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. I think we're there. Jerry says hi, Cheryl. So checking
in. Hi, Jerry.
All right. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Cheryl. So we want to talk Sublimation Summit. 2019 was your first live Sublimation Summit. So for all of our regulators who may have missed it, tell us a little bit about that first event.
Well, it was actually pretty scary and pretty awesome. I had a desire to put together a sublimation, dedicated sublimation conference, heat transfer. And, it was really something that I wanted to do for probably 5 or 6 years. I'd talked to Aaron numerous times about it. And at an ISS show, actually, in Atlantic City, two women came up to me and said, you have got to put a conference together. We need a conference. We desperately need a conference. And I'm like, okay. So and again, it was something I had always desired to do. And so I had talked to David. I talked to a bunch of the vendors, and they were all for it. And I spoke to Aaron. He was probably one of the first that I called and said, "Hey, would you?" He said, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
And anyway, so it exceeded my expectation. It is more of a retreat. It's not like a conference or, well, it is a conference, but it's more of education based and lots of classes. We had 92 classes.
Wow.
It was crazy in 2.5 days. And it was awesome. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had some great classes. I mean, you know, and like you said, you mentioned David. And for those that don't know, that's David Gross from Condi Systems. He was there teaching. You had Jimmy Lamb. You had Aaron Knight. Is that right?
Yeah. Vic Patel. I mean, there were Coastal was there. Johnson Plastics.
You had Roger teaching Corel.
Yeah.
Just some really great stuff going on. And like I said, it didn't. It wasn't a trade show. It was a conference, but it did also have that retreat feel. I you know, as Cheryl mentioned, she called me and asked if I would be willing to participate. And I was like, heck yeah. And like Cheryl had said, you know, this was something that I felt was needed. Cheryl was just the one that was brave enough to pull it off, you know, because as she mentioned it, I'm sure it was scary. It was
like, you know, so we found the Crown Plaza, they said, listen, we either want your first child or, you know, a mortgage.
Or maybe both. Yeah.
Exactly. And if you can't pay, we definitely want both. And, you know, so what will it be? And I was like, OMG, like, I didn't know it was that expensive. And, but I have to tell you, it was, it ended up being truly, exceeded my expectation. The food was amazing. You literally got, breakfast, lunch, and beverages and snacks all day long, hot snacks too. So, I mean, it was top notch. The staff was amazing. So, I definitely wanted to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, it was a blast. It felt great. We, you know, I felt like we had a great opportunity to interact, you know, both through all the classes and just the opportunity. You did the panel discussion, which I had a blast being a part of that. That was awesome. It was really cool because they had this like room that was theater like, I guess would be a good way to put it, Cheryl. And and then you've got David Gross, myself, Jimmy Lamb,
Rich Zadonik.
Rich Zadonik. Who else was up there?
Erica was up there. Let's see. Jimmy Lamb was there. Vic Patel was supposed to be there, but he forgot, he said.
So just imagine, you know,
you've got the night before, so forget.
Just imagine a panel with Jimmy Lamb on it. I'll just leave that there for you, Terry.
It was great, though. And Randy Bratz was there as well.
Yeah, that's right.
It was really, really cool. But I gotta tell you this. So one of the highlights for me, or maybe not a highlight, but a scary moment was my keynote speaker was Sean Copeland, Secretary of Commerce for the state of Oklahoma. And he is, you know, he's the keynote speaker. So around 4 a.m, I get a text from him saying, "Oh my God, there's a state of emergency and I'm not going to be there." And I thought he was kidding. I'm like, yeah, all right, Sean.
funny joke, haha.
yeah, right. And then he's like, "Cheryl, I am serious." And I mean, I am sick. I am like, OMG, like, what the heck am I supposed to do? I have all these people showing up for you and you're not going to be there. And so we're kind of texting back and forth. And then he said, "Well, you know, I mean, I'll just throw this out there, but maybe I could do like a live." And I'm like, "Oh my God, I think that could work." And so that's what we did in the back seat of his dad's car. He's doing this live. I mean, it was crazy. It was just, but it worked. It really worked. And people were inspired. It was good, but it was like, oh my God. Yeah.
So you had a little taste of pivoting back then. And speaking Absolutely. Of pivoting, yeah. 2020 has not worked out like any of us would have liked, obviously. Yeah. But it seems like you're really doing a good job of pivoting here. So coming up, I mean, like next week, right?
Yeah, literally like in less than, well, it's like 5 days away.
So. 5 days away. Yeah, you've got a virtual event coming up here. Tell us about it.
Okay. So, so I'm figuring March, they're shutting down the country, the world, the world, not just the country, the world. And so I'm thinking, you know what, by June, we're going to be out of this thing. It's going to be fine. Well, I'm in complete denial of it. I'm like, listen, I'm working towards a summit. I believe we're going to have it. It's not going to be a big deal. I'm doing all the work necessary. And I guess it was probably sometime in mid-June, maybe when they did the second shutdown, that I said, okay, I think I'm going to have to pivot. I think I'm going to have to do something different, like a virtual. And I didn't want to do a virtual. I seriously did not want to do a virtual because everybody was doing a virtual, first off. And I just didn't want to do it. It was the last thing I wanted to do. But I said, if I'm going to do a virtual, it's going to be the best of the best. And so I set out to make sure that, we could have a really spectacular summit. And so when you go to look at it, it is pretty cool. It's sublimationsummitlive.com. And so you can do the 360 view, which is so cool with all the vendors and the sponsors. And you can look at the classes. It's really cool. So, we have 64 classes, so it's still education based. Wednesday is graphics day. So it's, Roger Wambault with Corel for 2 hours, then Dane with, Great Dane's.
Yeah. Great Dane Graphics. Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome. And then, Corel again, Roger's doing advanced, and then Dane doing affinity for 2 hours. So that's just Wednesday. And then on Thursday and Friday, we have, well, Aaron will be teaching.
And not all the classes, but.
No, that would be a whole lot. Yeah, don't think we could do it. But there's three an hour that somebody can pick from. But the cool thing is they will be recorded and they can watch it for until the end of the year. And there are so many great classes for beginners, intermediate and advanced, sublimation 911 and sublimation 411, sublimation. Oh my God. No, not that.
Pick a number.
And a lot of white toner printers, training. So it's going to be awesome. There's lots and lots of classes. So something for everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, so, we're all looking forward to 2021 for many reasons. Tell us about Sublimation Summit 2021.
Yeah, so we are going to have it again at the Crown Plaza. And everything is pretty much, good. It was really interesting because Crown Plaza, they were still taking, weddings or whatever this year. And so when I realized, I'm like, listen, even if we could have it, I'm not going to do it because, the numbers are rising and all that. And so I said, then we will reschedule it. Because if you cancel, you're still responsible. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we rescheduled for September 23rd through the 25th of 2021. So everyone who had bought tickets before that, they got locked in for that price and for the virtual ticket as well. So, which is exciting. So, and I believe we will probably do at least 92 classes again next year. We have, you know, a lot of people lined up already, like Aaron.
We haven't talked about 2021 yet, but yes, I'm in, Cheryl.
Yeah. And we're going to keep growing it. It's super exciting. The thing that I feel really blessed about with this is that because I was forced to pivot, I think now we will probably have a virtual as well as a in-person for all those people who cannot make a live event. So we're kind of excited. And I think that I honestly think there's so many good things that are coming out of all of this for so many people. Sure. And this has really become a tremendous opportunity for people in business. You know, the go-getters especially, I mean, they're making a run for it. They're doing things different. They're thinking outside of the box and things are happening for them. And I'm seeing successes in my group. Like crazy things that they thought, you know, there's no way we're not going to make it. We had a storefront. What are we going to do? And sure. They completely turned this thing around and off to the races.
Totally. Yeah. I love it. I love it. That's perfect. All right, Cheryl, give us the pitch. There's 5 days. If you're not signed up for Sublimation Summit, where do they go? How do they do it?
Yeah. Okay. So technically, if you don't get a ticket by Monday, then the doors are going to be shut.
So 3 days to do it.
Yeah. 3 days to buy that ticket. Okay. So I did get you guys a code because I love you guys. You're so awesome.
Thank you.
So if they sign up, they can go to sublimationsummit.com. and register, and the virtual, they'll get a $25 coupon with two reg guys, $25. And they'll get $25 off the ticket price, and they will love it. We have over $20,000 in giveaways. We have two white toner printers. We have three Sawgrass printers. We have two big, huge baskets of substrates to give away. I mean, the giveaways are insane. So go to www.sublimationsummit.com. Look at the gifts, the giveaways. It's crazy insane. And one of my favorite classes that I'll be doing, that I will be a part of, is Cheryl and Ashley Gone Wild. I like saying that.
Yep. It's gonna be great.
Cheryl and Ashley Gone Wild with artist-free markers and whatever the stamp pad. So I'm super excited about that. That's gonna be so much fun.
What day is that? Are you doing it?
That's on Thursday.
On Thursday.
And we do have our keynote speaker is Sean Copeland. And again, he promised I will be live this time, Cheryl. But I mean, he was going to be actually at the event. And of course, that just didn't happen. And so maybe I'll rope him in again next year because he's so good. Check him out, Sean Copeland. He's at Regions Bank. He owns the bank, just saying. Along with 41 businesses, he owns the bank. He's like 45. Yeah.
Wow.
That's something to aspire to, right?
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Looking forward to hearing from him. Okay. Well, one more time.
Eric Campbell put that up there. Eric, you're awesome. Yes, that was two reg guys.
Is that right? Yes, 25. 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two reg guys, 25 at the end. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eric.
25. He's got a question there, but that is correct.
There we go. He's got it. Two red guys, 25. All right. All right. Cool. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for your time. Sublimationsummit.com is where you can check that out. And we'll let you get back to making it an amazing event. Thanks for all the hard work.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me as always. You guys are awesome. I appreciate you. Bye. Take care.
All right. Terry, bonus time. Yes, indeed. So, All right, real quick, got some other great stuff coming up, but again, go make sure you check out sublimationsummit.com and use that $25 coupon code there to get signed up by Monday. I'm excited about it. I get to present a couple of classes. Take a guess, Terry. What do you think I'm going to be talking about?
Possibly business planning.
Yes, indeed. Yep. That's one. And the other one though, that I'm really excited to talk about is pricing your products for profit. It's something that, is near and dear to my heart because a couple of reasons. Obviously I want people to make a profit. I am truly believe profit is not a dirty word. And for some reason people seem to think that it is.
Right.
And so that's one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, we all have to be good stewards of this industry, you know? So if you're new into this industry and you're just getting in and going, oh, well, this thing cost me a dollar, I'm going to sell it for two. You're not making a profit and therefore you're putting yourself out of business, but you're also harming other people. So
right.
that's the other side of it. I just want to make sure people have all the tools that they need to be able to think through their pricing. So those are the two things I'll be talking about.
Awesome.
Yeah. Eric is, pulling off the take up regularly and doing a fantastic job with it. I'm super proud of him and enjoy tuning in, even though he talks about things that I have no clue about, you know, that whole embroidery thing. But let's see, what do we got coming up here today? Today at 2:30 Mountain Time, Terry, that would be probably...
That's Mountain Daylight Time.
We're going to get into that. So, but it's called The Take Up. It's happening on his Facebook page at facebook.com/eric.campbell. And that's ERICH.campbell. Today, it's all about digitizing letters, fonts, and a fun aside on ambigrams. Ambigrams are so cool. I still have to talk Eric into making one for me, but
it was pretty cool.
yeah, I just the brain power you have to think that through, and Eric does them, and he's incredible with it. So he's going to talk about digitizing lettering, fonts, and a fun aside on ambigrams. So check that out today again, facebook.com/eric.campbell. And also on YouTube, and there'll be a link to that. In fact, it's right there on the page. Still got the Demystifying Next Level Digitizing webinar out there. In fact, I got some new people, a new person that signed up for it this week. So you want to check it out too. It will help you with better running, bolder, more beautiful embroidery with the faster cycle from concept to completion. It's a fantastic training, and you get access to the entire webinar and all the Q&A at the end, and probably even Eric a little bit too at bit.ly. bit.ly/EricDD. And again, that's Eric with an H, ERICHDD. Terry, the book of travel. I know you got the 2021 one, so you really, I like it. I like the positive attitude, but anything left on the 2020 schedule for you?
The only thing I have left right now is my complete screen printing business course at Atlas Screen Supply, November 14th and 15th. I talked to the folks at Atlas this past week. Still on the schedule, so we shall see. But I plan on having all my upcoming 2020 events, and I'm going to be working on the book of travel this weekend. But you can go to terrycombs.com, click on tour dates, and hoping to start filling that in for next year.
And all right, 2021 travels. Terry's feeling nostalgic to get back on the plane, and you know, send us some. Pictures of a plane wing and maybe a cocktail or two. So.
Exactly.
I sadly do miss those, Terry. I'll be honest with you. I live vicariously.
Even though you make fun of me so many times.
I know. But that's it's jealousy more than anything. So. I live vicariously through you. So. All right.
What do you have coming up?
Yeah, for me, I've got Small Business Saturdays happening tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, I am talking about masterminding our way to success. It's a concept that I truly believe in, and it just takes finding the right group. So tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Central Time to learn all about that. You can find it over at liveosg.com. That'll take you to the YouTube page, or at our Facebook group at facebook.com/oursuccessgrouppro. And speaking of masterminds, Terry, the big announcement that I couldn't share with you last week that we've made this week is that we've started the open enrollment period for our Masters of Success program. It's our Success Group's mastermind group basically. And so check out more information and details about it over at oursuccessgroup.com/MOS, stands for Masters of Success. So I just really excited. We're going to keep that to a limited group of about 4 to 6, 7 businesses. And we're going to have bi-weekly calls on top of all of the training and stuff that we're doing at our success group. So you, if you're part of the Master's Success program, not only do you get all the things that come with the membership, but you also are participating in these mastermind calls, very structured, so you get the most value out of them. We're just really excited about really making some real important change to people's businesses through a mastermind program. So that was the thing I couldn't mention last week. We wanted to make sure that all of our members had first dibs on that information. Right. And we've already got people applying for that program. So you don't want to miss out. It will be limited. And so get over there and apply today. Then lastly, I guess, Terry, I wanted to tell everybody about our Linktree. I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but it's linktr.ee is this deal. And it kind of started off on Instagram, but I think it's a really useful tool for people to have. But if you want to check out our Linktree, you can just go right there to linktr.ee/oursuccessgroup. And that will give you all the links about everything going on over at our success group. But you should also check out Linktree. It's a really cool tool that you should be using as well. So
very cool.
All right, Terry. Well into bonus time again. Thank you very much for everything. Thanks to the regulators for tuning in. And we want to thank Keith for spending this hour with us. I also want to thank Cheryl Kuchek for dropping by and sharing about the Sublimation Summit. Make sure you're connecting with both of those folks and really appreciate their time today.
All right. And we also want to thank our show producer who spends tons of time and doesn't get a lot of camera time. That's Eric Campbell. And you can find him at ericcampbell.com.
Yeah. And really do please go check out the Take Up. He does such a wonderful job, does the whole thing himself. Like I said, he talks about things that are not outside of my wheelhouse, and I still just love popping in and just listening and learning from him. He's a great educator. So definitely check that out this afternoon. Terry, next week we're going to give Action Engineering one more shot, so we've got everybody's calendar synced up now, and I think we're good. So I'm really excited to talk to Marcia and Eric from Action Engineering. It's cool to hear that Marcia's with Action Engineering now. It is weird to say Marcia with Action Engineering, but
after 33 years, exactly. Yeah,
it's totally weird, but both. Great. Marcia is a great person. Action Engineering is a great company. And so we're going to talk about specialty platens for screen printing and DTG decorating. And we'll see. We want you to tune into the live version too, because we might even be able to do a little, at least see some things. I'm guessing,
yeah, absolutely. We'll see
how far we can dig in on a podcast, but it will be a lot of fun next week. So tune in next week again at 10 a.m. Central Time.
All right. Well, everybody have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. And until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the Two Regular Guys.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.